thing tonight is prayer and trusting God. Prayer and trusting God. The last two Wednesday nights we talked about God being the God of the impossible. And so kind of really along those lines, adding to it, not the same, adding to the prayer and trusting God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Again, thank you for providing a place to meet. And thank you for providing the finances to be able to pay the rent once again here. And for keeping the doors open here and keeping us in the place. And what I pray that even tonight, as we look at this theme of trusting you, that our trust would increase as a result of these scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 3, we come to a well-known Bible story. A well-known Bible story. In fact, it's a Bible story that I do remember hearing about it when I was a very young boy in Sunday school. And that's the three Hebrew children. Who knows their names?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Okay, who can tell me their other names for bonus points? Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. Bonus points for me. Okay, just kidding. Extra scoop of ice cream. No, I don't need an extra scoop. But anyway, the three Hebrew children. And of course, Daniel was also in that mix. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want you to think about this question. We're going to read a few verses in just a moment. But I want you to think about this with me as we have an introductory statement here. How often do we view God on the basis of how he performs for us in our time of need? God's got to come through right now. That's what I'm saying. Right? Everybody here understands the time of need. And surely God's going to, he's going to come through now. Well, he could, he can. But that's not how we view God. If he performs a miracle in our time of need, or if he allows us to go through the fire, which is exactly what he does with three Hebrew children. Sometimes we can come across someone who will say this: "Well, I used to be a church-going individual. I used to go to such and such church, and I was committed, and I was faithful, and then God allowed something to happen, and I'm not in church anymore." As if God, made a mistake. As if God would do something to you or do something to me as his child to harm us. Finally, good people, godly people can get to that place of their life that because of something that has come into their life, and they recognize that God allowed that to come into my life, and so if God's going to allow this to come, in other words, it all boils down to a lack of trust. God is sovereign, and
Amen.
God is powerful, and God is love.
Amen.
But when we're in the middle of a difficulty, some of those terms and thoughts are greatly challenged to see if we really believe it. God didn't answer this prayer exactly as I thought he should. Think about that statement, by the way. He didn't answer this prayer as I thought he should. Who am I? Right? I am finite. He is infinite. Right? My life of 70 and maybe 10 bonus or more, and he is eternal. And then I have several things, God gave this to someone, but he didn't give it to me, and I've been praying for that exact, whatever it may be. Job said this. I know you're in Daniel, but Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That word slay there, I thought, well, maybe there's a Hebrew meaning there beside what I think it means. And no, it's not. It means kill. Though he kill me. In other words, if God wants to take our life as his children, he says, I'll trust him. That's in Job 13:15. We can conclude that God always knows what is best for us. So we can trust God. You know, that's the theme of this thought tonight, really, is what it is. Do you trust God? There are many indicators in our life that will show that we don't trust God. I'm a firm believer that if someone who is saved and is shown from the Bible about giving their tithe to God, giving their tithe to the Lord, by the way, the first tenth of your income is not yours, it belongs to God. And by the way, the last 90% of your income is not yours, it belongs to God. It's all God's. None of it's mine. None of it's yours. So if we trust God, then giving him that 10% as a way of obedience, which is what it is, it's obedience, it's no big deal. Why? Because we trust God. And then when God says, you know, missionaries come in and we have a missions conference and God challenges us to give to missions, and we think, man, how can I give to missions? I've got this over here. No, we trust God. And I mean, you need to pray about these things. You don't need to pray about your tithe. You just need to obey God and give it. But the offering part of it isn't clearly laid out in the Bible beyond that 10%. You need to pray about that. You need to be led of the Spirit in that way. But, you know, finances is a big thing that we want to be able to see and control. Right? Let's be honest. Probably the biggest one. And I don't really intend on preaching on money. It's one of the biggest ones. You've got to be able to control this. No, do we trust God? Do we trust God? He's got a plan laid out that if we follow his plan, and no matter what it is, it'll be good. You may die and go to heaven, but it'll be good. I mean, how can we say that a missionary that gets their life on the mission field and they die on the mission field, you know, they trusted God too. Those missionaries in Ecuador, they trusted God. They weren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, God allowed them to be martyred. I mean, again, our mentality of life, I think, many times is really skewed by materialism, isn't it? It's skewed by thinking that, you know, God, he has to do all of this for us. He has to do all of this for our church. Well, you know, he doesn't have to do anything. He's good regardless. We can trust God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And then he gives them another chance. Verse 15. When you hear the band start to play, you know, just bow down, everything will be fine. Middle of the verse, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I mean, they even showed respect to the king, even though he was a pagan king. I think there's something to make note of there. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And then these famous three words, but if not, but if not. I think you could almost put in there in the margin, but if not, we still trust him. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This was the trial of their lives. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe they could see the fiery furnace. Maybe they could see the path that led to it. Very simple. All they had to do was bow, and it would be over. All they had to do was cave in. And, you know, who else was going to know about it? Maybe Daniel would end up hearing about it. But these young men, including Daniel, if you go back to Daniel chapter number one, we find that, you know, they were taken captive by this Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 1, it says that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came unto Jerusalem and besieged it. God allowed it. And verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and so forth and so on. And here's those other names that I gave you earlier, if you're wondering where they were. Verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Belteshazzar for Daniel. They all got new names. I think it's really neat when I meet people here in Canada that come from a country where God of the Bible isn't really honored at all. Christianity isn't honored at all. And they say, I met a guy from Nigeria on Saturday, actually. He told me, he said, my name's Paul. Well, I know Paul is not traditionally a Nigerian name. And he said, my name is Paul. That's my Christian name. And he wanted to have a Christian name because he wasn't brought up in a Christian environment. He wanted to have a Christian name. And anyway, here's kind of the reverse of that. But this is the beginning of the journey for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been down this road before. And God took care of them. And if you read Daniel chapter number 1, and you see how they were put to the test, and God blessed their obedience, and they did not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat nor the wine that he drank, and they could trust God. And I ask you tonight, do you trust God? I mean, we don't read anywhere in this text of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego complaining about the law that the king had decreed. Now, they didn't have a whole lot of time. I think about the day in which we live in. Who knows what's coming down in my lifetime? Who knows what's coming down in the lifetime of these young people here tonight? But we need to, as adults, make sure that we're letting the young people, the next generation of Christians, know that they can trust God. They can trust God when the government of Canada, at some point more than likely, will say, you can't have a church like this. You can't knock on people's doors like this. Especially if you're against, sodomy, and you're against all these things, and you're not willing to cave in to what we say is right. I mean, we need to live in that now that we can trust God. That it isn't about having everything easy. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not good. Some of us know that. Some of you know that way better than me. I mean, I feel like a lot of things were handed to me. I feel like a lot of things in my heritage were just handed to me. And I want to be a laborer. I want to be a hard worker. But I want to realize that I can trust God. No matter what comes, we can trust God. And these three young men are examples of young people that trusted God. You find them standing for right in the midst of a trial. What a trial. What a difficulty. One of the first things we can be found doing when something comes our way that we don't like, we can be known to complain. We can be known even to question Almighty God. How about this? If we spent the same amount of time praying and serving the Lord as we did complaining about how God is running our life or running things down here, maybe we would see just how trustworthy God is. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's a way it's a very short verse in the Bible. And here's something that we should practice. About prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, many of you have it memorized. What's it say? Pray without ceasing. One who never prays before a trial will find it difficult to pray during a trial. In other words, we don't wait to pray until it's a 911 moment. We pray now. God, thank you so much that we have freedom. God, thank you so much that we have the Bible. Thank you so much that we have a building, right? Thank you so much that we have a family right here. The family we have here. Praise the Lord. On a Wednesday night, we have a family gathered together. Pray without ceasing. I don't think that means just only be in a spirit of prayer. I believe that means when all the bills are paid, whenever that happens, I don't know, let me know when it happens for you, and I'll rejoice with you. But we can pray without ceasing. I mean, we're blessed people. We are blessed people. We have a lot. God's been good. And you know, we pray and we thank God now for what we have. And yes, there might come a day where things are lean and where things are, when there's a struggle. But by the way, that's good too. Can you trust God? Who's our trust in, right? Our trust has to be in the Lord. Think about this. If the Bible said, eat without ceasing, we would take that literally. It doesn't, okay? By the way, you figure out real quick, there must be some other sub-meaning to that because I'm about, 500 pounds. I just can't eat without ceasing. But it didn't, it said, what if the Bible said vacation without ceasing? Play without ceasing. And we can do these, Go to the park for you kids. Go to the park without ceasing. Relax without ceasing. Now there's some truth there. We all need to relax. But if you think about, what if the Bible said this? What if the Bible said that? And yet it says, pray without ceasing. Good times, bad times, difficulties, no matter what it is. We don't wait for things. We don't wait for that fiery moment to all of a sudden say, you know what, I've got to get a hold of God. Why? Because we trust Him. We trust Him now, we'll trust Him then. Let's not ignore God. If tonight maybe your gas tank is half full and your cabinets have food in them and your freezer has food in it and the rent got paid on the first or the mortgage got paid on the first or whatever, and we still need God. He gave us all of that to begin with. Do you trust God? The Bible says in James 4:19, who provides our needs? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can trust God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what the fire was all about. They knew what it was to hurt for doing right. They found out that God was trustworthy. Not just in a sunny moment, sunny day, not just in a time of prosperity, but in a time of great difficulty. God can be trusted. What about John the Baptist tonight? Just before he was beheaded for preaching the truth to a sinful ruler, he sent for the disciples and asked them to ask Jesus if he was really who he said he was. He can trust God, as we can trust God. Job again, as a reminder tonight, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Let's look at some verses together for a few moments. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Prayer and trusting God. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who can know the mind of God? We can't know the mind of God. But we can trust God. We can't know necessarily everything that God has in store for Anchor Baptist Church, but we can trust God for tonight. We can trust God for tomorrow if it comes, and we're there, the Lord tarries. We can trust God, as the prophet Isaiah says, your ways, they're not my ways. So we may have a different way in mind, but I want to grow to the place in the Christian life where I don't want my way anymore. I want God's way. Or I don't want my way in the church. Or I don't want my way in the relationship of in the marriage or whatever it may be. I want God's way. By the way, God's way may have a furnace in it, but it's still the best way. And God's way may have a setback in it, but it's God's way. Therefore, it's what I want. Why? Because it's trustworthy. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Can God be trusted? Trust God. I pray tonight that as we consider several verses of Scripture, what we've already considered and some others that we're looking at, I pray that as we head to our homes a little bit later tonight, that we would be asking ourselves that question, or we would go beyond the question, and we would go to the statement, I can trust God. I can trust God. Trust Him right now. I mean, we put every bit of trust into our God and His Word for eternity. Think about it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Our complete trust is in the finished work of Calvary for all eternity. I think the finished work of Christ for all eternity is big, don't you? It's so big that Jesus Christ would shed His holy blood for my sin and yours. That's a big commitment. That's a big sacrifice. And that's for all eternity. And our trust is in Him and Him alone. And if it's not, you don't have salvation then. Think about it. Again, I want us to think about the fact that tonight our entire eternal destiny is in the hands of someone we've never seen with our eyes. Our eternal destiny is in the hands of someone we've read about. I'm not trying to get us to doubt that. I'm only saying that we are trusting God and God alone for eternity. Are we not? How about just a meal then? It's not just a meal, but think about it. We trust God for the street of gold. I think we trust God for a place to live if we need to move. We trust God for a place being prepared for us. I think we as a church can trust God for the next meeting place. I mean, we trust God for the new body that is coming our way. I think we can trust God with the body we have right now, too. You know what? God may heal. God may not heal. We could trust God. I mean, think about it. We trust God for eternity and all that it entails. And many of those things, you can look back and look at the temporal and find examples of them in our life now. God says, hey, look, you're trusting me for that. You can trust me for on your daily bread. You can trust me for whatever it is. I am trustworthy. Verse 33 of Romans chapter 11 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Think about this. Think about the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. His ways are past finding out. Could God be trusted when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up by the soldiers? Could God be trusted when they were taken over to the fiery furnace and thrown in? The Bible says that the soldiers that threw them in died because it was so hot. Or can God be trusted only because they lived? They didn't have Daniel chapter 3 to read about. That's why they said, King, we're not bowing. We believe our God's going to deliver us. But if not, we trust Him for whatever the outcome is. You see, we are, I guess I'm prone to this, we're all prone to this, that we trust God when he comes up big, and we say, yeah, God did that. But when God doesn't come up big, you've got to say, well, I trust God now. This is what God has, I trust God for this. Could God be trusted only because He delivered them? No, God could be trusted if they hadn't been delivered. Could God be trusted only if John the Baptist would have been able to avoid a beheading? No, he didn't avoid a beheading. He lost his head for preaching the truth. But God can be trusted. Turn quickly to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Verse 3. Do you trust God tonight? As for God, His way is perfect. Wow. Easy to read, hard to believe sometimes. Let's just be honest. It's hard to believe that God's way is perfect sometimes in our life. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield. He's a buckler to all those that what? Trust in Him. The shield comes, the buckler comes when we trust God. Could God be trusted when they took James and killed him with the edge of the sword? Or was He only trustworthy when He used him mightily in the work of God? See, God was trustworthy when James was preaching, and God was trustworthy when James lost his head. God's trustworthy all the time. Again, I believe God is, I don't know exactly what God is doing in my life and in our life at the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church, but I believe He's showing us some things, and one of the things He's showing me is, trust me. I have to see it. No, that's not faith. Trust involves faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust me. Proverbs 3:5, you know the verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. Could God be trusted when they took Paul and Nero beheaded him? Or was He only trustworthy when He brought Paul back to life from being stoned to death at Lystra? That's a powerful miracle. Paul gets, he's basically left for dead, and God brings him back to life. Well, Paul ended up being killed by him. But He's trustworthy to die. Could God be trusted when they took Peter and crucified him upside down? Or was He only trustworthy when we saw recently that he was released from jail, Acts chapter 16? He's trustworthy both times because His ways are past finding out. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, could God be trusted when Lazarus died? Or was He only trustworthy when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? By the way, God has never changed. He has never changed. Tonight you may have a big weight on your shoulder. You may have a burden tonight. I want to just encourage you. God is greater than your burden. God can be trusted. The testing that God is allowing in your life, the testing that God allows in my life, that God allows in our lives, trust God with the testing. Trust God with the burden. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times. At all times. At all times. Let that ring in. At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. When's the last time you did that? You poured out your heart before God. We have to take some time, maybe. That takes some undivided time. pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Psalm 119, 68. Just going to read a couple verses. Listen. Thou art good and doest good. We can trust God. Psalm 119, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Amen.
We can trust God with our affliction. Psalm 119, 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. We trust God in our afflictions. Again, I ask you one more time, maybe one more after it. Do you trust God? Maybe tonight there's something that you're facing. It's not a fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it's something that you're facing tonight. And you need to trust God with whatever it is. Remember, that doesn't mean that God just does whatever we think God should do in the situation, because His ways are past finding out. But whatever the situation is in our lives, we can trust God. Be quiet, because God loves us. I want to encourage you tonight to face whatever it is like these three young men. How did they face it?
Head on.
Head on. King, you can do what you want. We're not turning back. We're not bowing. We're not quitting. Whatever it is, face it head on. Get a renewed thinking of, I can trust God. It's easier just to walk away. No. Stand. Trust God. He is faithful. There is no problem to dig. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. God cannot move it. There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe it. These are the words by Scott Wesley Brown. He carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders. I know, my brother, that he will carry me. There is no storm too dark. There is no sorrow too deep. There is no problem too big. There is no mountain too tall. You can trust God. What is it tonight? A list? If we took a survey tonight, we'd have a list. All right? Pray and trust God. There's nothing that you could come up with that we shouldn't trust God about. Whatever it is, let's trust God. What's coming? I don't know. Trust God. Do we trust God? Say what? God has never failed. Past. Present. He's not going to start with you and me. God is